الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبي محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعه بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. We continue the تفسير سورة النساء آية number 38 تذكروا عليكم السلام رحمة الله. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. ومن يفعل ذلك عدوانا وظلما فسوف نصليه نارا وكان ذلك على الله يسيرا إن تجتنبوا كبائر ما تنهون عنه نكفر عنكم سيئاتكم وندخلكم مدخلا كريما. And whoever commits that through aggression and injustice, we shall cast him into the fire, and that is easy for Allah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you avoid the great sins which you are forbidden to do, we shall expiate from you your small sins and admit you to a noble entrance, which is paradise. The Shaykh said, "Rahimahullah." ثم قال وما يفعل ذلك أي أكل الأموال بالباطل وقتل النفوس. Whosoever does that is in reference to consuming people's wealth unjustly and or unjustly for this matter, and killing innocent souls. Whoever consumes people's wealth unjustly and kills innocent people, then Allah Azza wa Jal, and He does it عُدْوَانًا وَظُلْمًا أي لا جَهْلًا وَلَا نِسَاءً. He does it out of injustice and transgression, not out of ignorance or forgetfulness. Yani He didn't do it without knowing, nor did He do it while in a state of forgetfulness, rather He did it intentionally out of aggression. فَسَوْفَ نُصْلِيهِ نَارًا. Then we shall cast them into a fire. أي عظيمة كما يفيد التنكير, meaning it is magnificent, or let me use a better adjective, it is vast, or it is great, as the نكرة suggests. Now notice now, نكرة is the noun which has not been preceded by the definite article the. So in Arabic you have walad al-walad. Walad is a boy. Al-walad, the boy. When you say nara and you don't say an-nar, this makes it, this precedes it with the indefinite article a. We will make him taste a fire. And the Shaykh said this linguistically denotes the greatness and the severity of the fire. Had it been with anna, the fire, it would have been less threatening than nara. This is the linguistic benefit. This may not be, we may not find the equivalence of that in English, but in Arabic it makes a difference whether you have the definite article or the indefinite article. The versus a boy, the boy. A fire, the fire. وَكَانَ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرًا. And that is easy for Allah. Now the next ayah, إِن تَجْتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ نُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَنُدْخِلْكُمْ مُدْخَلًا كَرِيمًا وَهَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَإِحْسَانِهِ عَلَى عِبَادِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. This is from the bounty of Allah and His generosity towards His believing slaves. وَعَدَهُمْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذَا اجْتَنَبُوا كَبَائِرَ الْمَنْهِيَاتِ غَفَرَ لَهُمْ جَمِيعَ الذُّنُوبِ وَالسَّيِّئَاتِ. Allah Akbar. Allah promised them that if they avoid the major sins which they were prohibited from committing, Allah will forgive all of their sins and their wrongdoings. You avoid the major haram, the minor sins are forgiven in the process. Between every salah and salah, between Fajr and Dhuhr, Dhuhr and Asr, Asr and Maghrib, Maghrib and Isha. The sins in between are forgiven. If the Salah was good, between every Ramadan and Ramadan, the sins between are forgiven. Between every Umrah and Umrah, the sins in between are forgiven. You follow me? Provided that we abandon the major sins. Now the major sins are many. Some of the ulama say they're around 700. They're not seven. No, these are the seven destructive sins. Ibn Abbas said, if my memory serves me well, either 70, he said rather it's 70 or 700. Why? The fact that the hadith mentioned these seven, it doesn't mean that there aren't any. This is similar to the Prophet ﷺ saying, seven will be under the shade of Allah. Under the shade of the throne of Allah on the day where there is no shade but the shade of the throne of Allah. And he mentioned seven, but then you read other narrations and they mention other people with other characteristics. So it's not really seven, it's maybe 10, 11 or even more. So when a hadith mentions the number, it is not restricting this to the number. He's just mentioning these seven at that particular occasion for the wisdom that Allah knows about. Otherwise, the major sins according to the ulama is anything where Allah associates with that sin His la'na, His curse, or His the hellfire. Or the hellfire. Once one of these two, and there are others, once one of these two are mentioned alone or as a consequence of a sin, according to the ulama, this is from kaba'ir al-dhunub, this is from the major sins. So, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لعن الله المتشبهين من الرجال بالنساء. Allah curses the men who resemble women. Once he said لعن, Allah cursed, this is a major sin. So if you see a brother walking around with a ponytail, he is cursed in the sight of Allah, and this ponytail of his is a major sin. You see a brother walking around with his pants below his ankles, then we have him. Not only that, the one who walks around with his pants below his ankles has been promised the following: Allah will not look at him on the day of judgment. Allah will not speak to him. Allah will not purify him. And Allah has prepared a severe punishment for the one who walks with his pants below his ankles. This is major upon major upon major sin, because it's bringing about all of these calamities on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Someone says, brother, you know, brother, come on, I'm salah, mashallah, I do qiyam, I pray, brother, I fast Ramadan, you're going to tell me Allah is going to put me in Jahannam because of my new pants? Say yes. Yes. Why? Because the Messenger of Allah said, you have a problem? Discuss it with Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Tell him, Allah, I don't like the fact that you know, you were going to put me in Jahannam because this teaching, I don't agree with. And see where Allah is going to put you. No one has the right to come and tell the deen or the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam or something which he said, no, but I don't think يعني, this is fair. Because if you believe so, then you're not a Muslim. You're not really a Muslim. You follow your own desires, your intellect. A believer, if the messenger of Allah said, ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا يَنْظُرُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ وَلَا يُكَلِّمُهُمْ وَلَا عَذَابُ الْعَلِيمِ, then he mentioned the one who drags his pants below his ankles. How are you going to come and tell him no? The fact, just in case someone has a misconception, the fact that until today you continue to ignore is the biggest sign that you're arrogant. Because see, the hadith speaks about arrogant people, and the quality of the arrogant people is when the truth comes to them, they think they're too special to apply it to themselves. So just in case the shaitan has been telling you, no, you're not arrogant, you are arrogant. Biggest proof, until today, you've heard this warning 1, 2, 3, 4, 50 times, and you don't make any changes. You are an arrogant person, and according to the hadith, you deserve Jahannam. So we need to stop playing games with ourselves. The teachings, if it's a minor sin, I will zip it. If it's something which is not, if it's voluntary, I will zip it twice. I'm not going to impose on you something voluntary. No, brother, you must pray witr 7 rak'at. It's up to you. You want to pray one rak'ah? Jazakallah khair. You don't want to pray witr? That's fine. It's not an obligation. So in the matters of where the deen did not impose on us anything, the people of da'wah have to also take it easy on the people. If someone wants goodness, jazakallah khair. If he doesn't want goodness, you can force him to do a voluntary act. But the haram and the halal, you have to mention it over and over and over again. And you have to warn the people about their consequences over and over and over again. Why? وَذَكِّرْ فَأَنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ The reminder will benefit the believers. We need the reminder all the time, beginning with myself. Many things I know that I don't do, until I hear a shaykh in a lecture speaking about it, then the next day I start doing it. But I knew it before he made the reminder. I knew it before. But Allah made us like this. We become lazy, and we kind of loosen up a little bit until we are reminded, then we get back on track. So these reminders are necessary, but we need to act upon them. So this is a major sin. The beard, major sin. Again, because it brings about 7-8 different punishments from Allah. All of these are major sins, even if the shaitan tells you they're not. So we need to realize that. If we avoid these major sins, Allah will pardon and forgive the lesser ones. The little bits and pieces that we fall into, the traps here and there, Allah Azza wa Jalla reported that by His mercy. وَأَدْخَلَهُمْ مُدْخَلًا كَرِيمًا كَثِيرَ الْخَيْرِ And Allah will admit them into a noble entrance, full of goodness. وَهُوَ الْجَنَّةِ And that entrance is paradise. الْمُشْتَمِلَ عَلَى مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ Jannah which contains what no eye has ever seen, nor ear has ever heard, and has never come across a human's heart. Something which we cannot even begin to imagine. وَيَدْخُلُ فِي اجْتِنَابِ الْكَبَائِرِ فِعْلُ الْفَرَائِدَ الَّتِي يَكُونُ تَارِكُهَا مُرْتَكِبًا كَبِيرًا Included in avoiding major sins, listen to this. Included in avoiding major sins is fulfilling the obligation. The ones where, the one who does not fulfill them is considered to have committed a major sin. Such as, As-salawat al-khams wal-jum'ah wa-ramadan. Like the five daily prayers, either Jum'ah, Salah and Ramadan. Needless to say, the one who doesn't pray five times a day is not a Muslim. كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الصلوات الخمس والجمعة إلى الجمعة ورمضان إلى رمضان مكفرات لما بينهن مجتنبت الكبائر And the hadith is in Muslim. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the one hadith I gave you earlier, the five daily prayers, and the Jum'ah to the Jum'ah, and Ramadan to Ramadan will expiate whatever is between them so long that the major sins are avoided. As long as you avoid the major sins, Allah will forgive our minor sins between the Ramadans, between the Jumu'ah, and between the Salawat al-Five. In other narrations, it mentions Umrah. Umrah. وَأَحْسَنُ مَا حُدِّتَ بِهِ أَوْ حُدَّتْ بِهِ الْكَبَائِرْ عَفْوًا أَنَّ الْكَبِيرَ مَا فِيهَا حَدٌّ فِي الدُّنْيَا أَوْ وَعِيدٌ فِي الْآخِرَةِ أَوْ نَفْيُ إِيمَانٍ أَوْ تَرْتِيبُ لَعْنَ أَوْ غَضَبٍ عَلَيْهِ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ عَفْوًا It's incorrect to say Allahu Akbar, which is what my tongue slipped with right now. Because kabar, kabar is a drum. It's a kind of drum. And the plural of kabar is akbar. Akbar. So when a muadzin or someone else for this matter says Allahu Akbar, he has distorted the meaning and he didn't say Allah is greatest anymore, he said Allah is something else. That's why you have to be very, very accurate in your pronunciation. Now, but we got used to it, so now right now, alhamdulillah, I caught myself. Otherwise, this is a major, major mistake to say Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Bar. Kida. Akbar. Don't elongate the alif after the ba. Don't say, make it short. Akbar. Akbar. Na'am. Sent ya Sheikh Yusuf. Even. Now the Shaykh gave us the summary and I do wish that you memorize this. Please memorize this for the sake of Allah. It's very important. I need to memorize it now. Inshallah this will be the last time I have to remember this. How do we identify major sins? No, not what are major sins. How do we know? What I told you earlier, the Giga, Shaykh Yusuf, the Giga. Major sins are identified. If you want to know whether this is a major sin or a minor sin, Islam. They are identified if there's a punishment in the dunya. If there's a punishment for it in the dunya. Like chopping the head of the thief, stoning the adulterer, lashing the fornicator, tayyib, anything which necessitates a penal code punishment in the dunya is a major sin. You with me? Anything which Islam says, if you do this, this will be done to you, is a major sin. Second, whatever there's a wa'id fil akhirah, whatever has a threat in the life to come. يعني for example, Allah said, الذين يأكلون الربا يتخبطون يقومون كالذي يتخبطه الشيطان من المس. Those who consume riba, they will rise like the one who's being struck around by the shaitan. The ulama say this is on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Anything which Allah promised a punishment for, a threat for in the life to come, is a major sin. So the Prophet ﷺ said, مَا أَسْفَلَ مِنَ الْكَعْبَيْنِ مِنَ الْإِيزَانِ فَفِي النَّارِ. Listen to this. Whatever is below your ankles of your lower garment will be in the fire. Is this a wa'id or not? This is a wa'id, this is a threat. This is a threat. So either there's a punishment in the dunya, a penal code, or a threat in the life to come, like the hadith I quoted right now. أو نفي إيمان, or Allah will negate إيمان. Allah will negate إيمان from someone, meaning he's not truly a believer. فلا وربك لا يؤمنون حتى يحكموك فيما شجر بينهم. Nay, by your Lord, they will not believe until they make you a judge concerning that which they differ about, that which they dispute. So Allah negated Iman. When Allah negates Iman, that means that sin is a major sin. Meaning if you don't refer matters back to the Sunnah, you refer them to a philosopher, then you have committed a major sin. أو ترتيب لعنة أو غضب عليه, or that Allah will, the consequence will be a curse or the wrath of Allah, or Allah being angry with this person. So we repeat, a penal code in the dunya, a threat in the life to come. Third one,
negation of Iman.
Fourth one,
ghadab.
Curse. Fifth one, ghadab. Memorize them. Either a punishment in the dunya, execution, chopping the hand, whatever. Threat in the life to come. Alaykum salam. Negation of Iman, number three. Curse of Allah, number four. The anger of Allah, or the wrath of Allah, number five. Any sin which Allah makes one of these five a consequence of that sin is categorized as a major sin. So now you tell me, do we have seven or 700? We have a lot more. Most of the sins actually that are mentioned have one of these accompanied with them. So we need to be very careful. And you can refer back to the book of Al-Imam Al-Dhahabi rahimahullah. It's called Al-Kabair. And if my memory serves me well, again, it's like he mentioned a good 200 something. So the major sins are not seven. There are many, 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 many more. And we need to avoid all of them, inshaAllah ta'ala. Ala kulli hal, the next ayah says, one second, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ولا تتمنوا ما فضل الله به بعضكم على بعض للرجال نصيب مما اكتسبوا وللنساء نصيب مما اكتسبن واسألوا الله من فضله إن الله كان بكل شيء عليما. And wish not for the things in which Allah has made some of you to excel others. For men there is reward for what they have earned. And likewise for women there is reward for what they have earned. And ask Allah of His bounty. mighty. Surely Allah is ever all-knower of everything. The Shaykh said, يَنْهَى تَعَالَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَنْ أَنْ يَتَمَنَّى بَعْضُهُمْ مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ غَيْرَهُ مِنَ الْأُمُورِ الْمُمْكِنَةِ وَغَيْرِ الْمُمْكِنَةِ. Allah forbids that the believers will wish to have what Allah has favored others with, whether it is possible to acquire it or impossible, whether the things are you know, feasible or unfeasible. فَلَا تَتَمَنَّ النِّسَاءَ خَصَائِصِ الرِّجَالِ الَّتِي بِهَا فَضَّلَهُمْ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. So women should not, Ya Allah, if only the Muslims today understood this. Women should not wish for that which Allah gave to the men as characteristics, and Allah favored the men over women with them, which is what is being called for today by many modernists. They call for what? Equality between women and men. And you have these Muslim women, may Allah guide them and rectify their condition. They want the rights and the specialties and the characteristics of men. Why? We can't lead the salah. So you had in New York, a woman leading people in salah, a woman leading Muslim, male and female, and no, they were praying behind her in mixed rows. Yani a brother standing next to a sister. You tell me what kind of salah you're going to have with a lady next to you. What kind of salah you're going to have? Unless you're a wood, unless you're a tree, and you have zero feelings, you're not going to be able to pray. Because you're supposed to be shoulder to shoulder, ankle to ankle. So these wicked women, man, they want to be like men. They want the same rights, same, you know, qualities. But Allah forbade that. Don't wish for that which Allah favored and made particular to the men over women, and vice versa. وَلَا صَاحِبِ الْفَقْرِ وَالنَّقْصِ حَالَةُ الْغَنِيِّ وَالْكَامِلِ تَمَنِّيًا مُجَرَّدًا. And the poor, deficient person should not also wish to be in the position of the rich and the perfect just for the sake of it. Not so he will spend for the sake of Allah. لِأَنَّ هَذَا هُوَ الْحَسَدْ بِعَنِي. This is envy. This is the epitome of envy, the Shaykh said. This is exactly what envy is. تَمَنِّي نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَى غَيْرِكَ أَن تَكُونَ لَكْ وَيُسْلَبَ هِيَّهَا. What is envy? Is that you wish that the favor which Allah has bestowed on someone else is yours and that he doesn't have it anymore. That Allah gives you what He blessed him with, and then He doesn't leave him with anything. He leaves him with nothing. You acquire the gifts which Allah gave that individual. وَلِأَنَّهُ يَقْتَضِي السَّقَطُ عَلَى قَدْرِ اللَّهِ. And it also entails that you become dissatisfied with the decree of Allah. وَالْإِخْلَادُ إِلَى الْكَسَلِ. And it makes you lazy. وَالْأَمَانِ الْبَاطِلَ الَّذِي لَا يَقْتَرُونَ بِهَا عَمَلُ وَلَا كَسَبُ. And it creates false hopes which are not accompanied with deeds and act and effort. وَإِنَّمَا الْمَحْمُودُ أَمْرَانِ. Whatever, however, what is praiseworthy are two things. أن يسعى العبد على حسب قدرته بما ينفعه من مصالح الدينية والدنيوية. That you make an effort according to your ability in rectifying your worldly conditions and those of the life to come. وَيَسْأَلُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. And you ask Allah of His bounty from the dunya, I'm sorry, and the deen, the religious matters. فَلَا يَتَّكِلْ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ وَلَا عَلَى غَيْرَ رَبِّهِ. Do not depend on yourself, nor do you depend on other than Allah. You ask Allah of His bounty and you make the effort. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ تَعَالَى لِلرِّجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبُوا. This is why Allah said, the men shall have a share of that which they have earned. أي من أعمالهم المنتجة للمطلوب. Meaning they will have of the deeds which they perform, the deeds which they have done. وَلِلنِّسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبْنَ. And for the women, there will be a share of that which they have earned. فَكُلٍّ مِّنْهُمْ لَا يَنَالُهُ غَيْرَ مَا كَسَبَ هُوَ تَعِبَ عَلَيْهِ. Each one of them will not be able to attain except that which he has earned and that which he has made effort concerning. وَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. And ask Allah of his favor, His bounty. أي من جميع مصالحكم في الدين والدنيا. Ask Allah of all that which is good for you in the deen, in your religion and in the life. فهذا كمال العبد وعنوان سعادته. This is the perfection, the perfect condition for the slave, and this is the title of his happiness and contentment. لا من يترك العمل أو يتكل على نفسه أو يتكل على نفسه غير مفتقر لربه أو يجمع بين الأمرين. Not the one who abandons making an effort, nor the one who depends on himself and is not and is self-sufficient concerning his Lord, or the one who brings a relation between both. فإن هذا مخذول خاسر. This person will be disgraced, he will be disappointed, and he will be a loser. He will be a loser. وقوله إن الله بكل شيء عليم كان بكل شيء عليم عفوا. Verily Allah is ever all knower of everything. فيعطي من يعلمه أهلا لذلك ويمنع من يعلمه غير مستحق. Allah will give the one whom Allah knows is worthy and deserving, and Allah will prevent the one whom Allah knows is undeserving. Ayyuwa. Ayah 33, or is it? I think there's an error here. Okay. الرجال قوامون على النساء. دقيقة واحدة بس. ولكل جعلنا مولى مما ترك الوالدان والأقربون والذين عقدت أيمانكم فآتوهم نصيبهم إن الله كان على كل شيء شهيدا. Ayah 33, and to everyone we have appointed heirs of that property left by parents and relatives. To those also with whom you have made a pledge, brotherhood, between parentheses, the Giga Sheikh Yusuf, give them their due portion by the will. Truly Allah is ever a witness over all things. The Shaykh said in the tafsir of Ayah 33, أي ولكل من الناس جعلنا موالي أن يتولونه ويتولاهم بالتعزز والنصر والمعاون على الأمور. For everyone Allah has given allies, meaning people whom they turn to and people who turn to them, and they seek through them honor, they seek through them victory, and they seek through them assistance over their various matters. مما ترك الوالدان والأقربون وهذا يشمل سائر الأقارب من الأصول والفروع والحواشي. Of that which the parents have left and the relatives. The Shaykh said that includes all of the rest of the relatives, the ones who are immediate from the root or the ones who are from the branch and those around them. هؤلاء الموالي من القرابة. These are your allies through your relation or blood relation. ثم ذكر نوعا آخر من الموالي فقال والذين عقدت أيمانكم أي حالفتموهم بما عقدتم معهم مع عقد المحالفة على النصرة والمساعدة والاشتراك بالأموال وغير ذلك. Included also are those whom you have what we can call, I guess, you know, a pledge. Those whom you have made a pledge with. And that they also will give you assistance and aid, and they will share your wealth and others with you. وكل هذا من نعم الله على عباده. All this is part of the favors of Allah over his slaves. حيث كان الموالي يتعاونون بما لا يقدر عليه بعضهم مفردا. That the allies and the heirs will help one another in things which a person usually couldn't do on his own. And really, man, if you lived in a life of individuality, if you lived on your own, you can hardly get anything done. But when you have connections, and we're speaking about the lawful Islamic connections, I mean, life is different. SubhanAllah, knowing people, having people to support you, will make a major difference in your life. Had you had to rely on yourself alone, many things wouldn't get done. So Allah made it, of course it's Allah who does everything, but Allah made it in such a way that the people whom you know, your related, the allies, your relatives, they actually are there to aid you, support you, help you out at the time of need. And this is from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla to his slaves. قال تعالى فآتوهم نصيبهم أي آتوا الموالي نصيبهم الذي يجب القيام به من النصرة والمعاونة والمساعدة على غير معصية الله والميراث للأقارب الأدنين من الموالي. So then give them their right. Those ones. that which they deserve of aid, assistance, help, and anything which does not include Allah's disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal, inheritance to their relatives and the close one amongst them. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدًا. Verily Allah is over everything a witness. أي مُطَّلِعًا عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ بِعِلْمِهِ لِجَمِيعِ الْأُمُورِ وَبَصَرِهِ لِحَرَكَاتِ عِبَادِهِ وَسَمْعِهِ لِجَمِيعِ أَصْوَاتِهِ. Meaning Allah is overlooking everything in His knowledge. Regarding all affairs, He sees all of the movements of His slaves, and He hears all of the sounds of His slaves. And ayah 34, الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض وبما أنفقوا من أموالهم فالصالحات قانتات حافظات للغيب بما حفظ الله واللاتي تخافون نشوزهن فعظوهن واهجروهن في المضاجع واضربوهن فإن أطعنكم فلا تبغوا عليهن سبيلا إن الله كان عليا كبيرا. Ayah 34, it reads, men are the protectors and maintainers of women, because Allah has made one of them to excel the other, and because they spend to support them from their means. Therefore, the righteous women are devoutly obedient to Allah and to their husbands, between parentheses, and guard in the husband's absence what Allah orders them to guard, such as their chastity and their husband's property. As to those women on whose part you see ill conduct, admonish them first, next refuse to share their beds, and last beat them lightly if it is useful. But if they return to obedience, seek not against them means of annoyance. Surely Allah is ever most high, most great. Now the Shaykh said, يُخْبِرُ تَعَالَى أَنَّ الرِّجَالَ قَوَّمُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. Allah informs us that the men are protectors and maintainers over women. أَيْ قَوَّمُونَ عَلَيْهِنَّ بِإِلْزَامِهِنَّ بِحُقُوقِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى مِنَ الْمُحَافَظَةِ عَلَى فَرَائِدِهِ وَكَفِّهِنَّ عَنِ الْمَفَاسِدِ. Number one, they are maintainers and protectors over the women by imposing on them all of the rights of Allah and ensuring that they fulfill all of the obligations and prevent them from all corruption. The men prevent the women from all kinds of corruption. So he doesn't let his wife and his daughter and his sister go out to the marketplace looking like she's You know what I'm saying. Doesn't let his wife wear a jilbab that is only serving the objective or the role of a robe. You know, like the sleeping robe, which is supposed to be in some context sexy. So women wear this jilbab with all kinds of funky monkey adornment, you know what I'm saying? All these different things, glittering, you know, she walks in the dark, she shines and she glitters like a flashlight. And of course the jilbab is open at the bottom, so every time she walks you can see half of her leg from the knee down, tight jeans, you know, nice shoes showing half of her foot. You know what I'm saying? She has her manicure and her toes done, and you know, her chest here is open, half of her hair is falling out, you can see her ears, you know, her hands, she's wearing jewelry and rings and bracelets and Isha. And they call this hijab. This is hijab. Wallahi, this is not hijab. This is not hijab. This is not. What is hijab? Hijab yahjub. Hijab means to veil you, to put you behind a barrier where people can't see you. You say, حجبت الغيوم الشمس. The clouds have veiled the sun. Meaning you can no longer see the sun rays because the clouds have created a partition between you and the sun. You can no longer see. It's like an eclipse. A lunar eclipse or a solar eclipse. You don't see it. You don't see the sun. You don't see the moon. That's what hijab is. It's not something which is just a black garment you throw on top while you're still calling the people to see you. Once you have something which makes the man looks twice, you are sinful. And you, Mr. Habibai, you are responsible for her. On Yawm al-Qiyamah, you have to answer Allah why your wife is going out with you or without you in this fashion. Where half of the men, when you go to the souk, when you look at them, they don't look at your wife. When you look away, they look at your wife. They stand in the corner, they're selling biryani, biryani, biryani. He's looking at all the women around. When you see him, he looks away. When you turn around, he looks back. I see them. I see them looking at other people's women. Alhamdulillah, my wife, they can't see anything. Because there's nothing that's supposed to be seen. Black from top to bottom. But other women, they see, I see them. And I look at them and say, hey, he's a Ishfi, don't tell me Ishfi man, I see you. Ah, then he try to say something, he go into the store. I see them. And we are men. We love women, love them. By Allah's will and natural disposition. This is the way we are. So what are we denying? You know how many men are going to look at your wife? How many? Wallah, hundreds. If you only go to the mall once, you go to Danube once, 100 men minimum will have their own share of your wife or your daughter. Who's responsible? You! Because what? You want to make her happy? No. You must impose on her to cover herself from top to bottom. If you follow the opinion that showing the face and the hands is permissible, fine. But that's it. No adornment, no feet, no jeans under, no hair, no neck, nothing. The only thing which can show is her face like this and her hands. No jewelry. And not here. It doesn't mean when she raises her hand, her jilbab falls off and you can see all of her arm. It means that this has to be covered like this. Her head, her fist, her wrist is what you can see. How many women dress like this? Minimum, very few. All of these other women, men are responsible for them. They think it's a big deal or it's not a big deal. On Yawm al-Qiyamah we will see. This is a major sin. So Allah made men, قَوَّامُونَ. We are the protectors, we are the maintainers, we have to make sure that they act according to the deen of Allah. If they don't know their own interest, we should have our own interest in mind. Then, when she goes home, let her wear whatever she likes. The one whom she's supposed to look pretty and beautiful for is you. There, buy her all the good stuff you can find in the world, let her wear it at home for you. Alhamdulillah. But for the strangers, not even a lick. Not even nothing. Not even a skin. An inch of skin should not be seen by a stranger. We are responsible. A. وَالرِّجَالَ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنْ يَلْزِمُهُنَّ بِذَلِكَ. The men are supposed to force them to abide by these rules. وَقَوَّمُونَ عَلَيْهِنَّ أَيْضًا بِالْإِنْفَاقِ عَلَيْهِنَّ وَالْكِسْوَ وَالْمَسْكَنِ. And now look, beauty. It is not dictatorship. It's not dictatorship that you're supposed to force on them and do this, do this, do this. But also, you are maintainers over them, as in you spend on them, you provide them with clothing, and you provide them with a place to accommodation. The same way you have to force and impose them on them to obey Allah, you have to fulfill their rights also. So don't tell them go work outside, then complain. It's your job to work, it's your job to pay the rent, it's your job to take care of the family, not your wife's. Not your wife's. And many men, you know, they take advantage of their wives. Yalla, go work, work. And he knows at work she mixes with men and she doesn't wear hijab and she's going through all kind of violations. Say, ma fi mushkila. Why? he benefits at the end of the month. This is half a man. Half a man, if any. A man go crazy, he goes crazy if he knows that anyone was, you know, working with his wife, was flirting with her. You know what happens in these hospitals and in these places. I mean, people are flirting like you can't believe. Ha ha ha, hee hee, and all this nonsense. And you're sitting there at work, you know, or home, watching TV, thinking your wife is, you know, doing all the things that the angels do, and Allah knows that she's not. Why? Because you're putting her in a wicked environment, and she's a human being, she's weak, like you are weak. So you know, what we're supposed to do is tell our wife, Jazakallah khair, you don't have to work, honey, this is my job. Less money, alhamdulillah. Take care of the children, take care of our house, make sure when I come home everything is in order so we can lead a normal life. Yeah, but you work and she works and she's out and you're out. This is not a family in Islam. And this is not acceptable in Islam. And no man can force his wife to work. Rather, he should take her out of work. And if she wants to work, he has the right to prevent her. If the financial situation is so bad, and working is a mutual agreement between them, provided that she's not in a place where Allah is being disobeyed, Allahu musta'an. Islam has some flexibility. But that should not be the fundamental position. This should be an exception to the rule. Otherwise, it's our responsibility to pay the rent, to pay for the clothing, to buy her clothes, to take care of her from A to Z. This is the man's responsibility, not her own. She doesn't have to work and pay for herself. We have to work and pay for them. ثم ذكر السبب الموجب لقيام الرجال على النساء. Then Allah mentioned why men have been made as protectors and maintainers of women. فقال بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض وبما أنفقوا من أموالهم. Because of what Allah has made some of them to excel over others, and because of what they have spent of their wealth. أي بسبب فضل الرجال على النساء وإفضالهم عليهم. Because men have been favored over women, and because of the virtue which men have over women. Needless to say, every prophet and every messenger of Allah was a man. Now, فتفضيل الرجال على النساء من وجوه متعددة. Men have been favored over women because of, for we can look at it from different facets. First, من كون الولايات مختصة بالرجال. ولاية, leadership, خلافة, the charge, the emir, the prince and what have you, has been specified for who? For men. Can you have a khalifa female? Female khalifa over the Muslims? No. والنبوة, prophethood. Only men. والرسالة, messagehood. The messengers, men. واختصاص بكثير من العبادات كالجهاد والعياد والجمعة. And that the men have been specified strictly with particular acts of worship that women don't have a share of, like jihad, fighting in Allah's way. And like a'yad, salatul eid, it's for men, mainly. Wal jumu'ah, Friday prayers, are for men, they're not for women. Women may come, but it is not obligatory on them. These have been made specific for the men. وَبِمَا خَصَّمُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْعَقْلِ وَالرَّزَانَ وَالصَّبْرِ وَالْجَلَدِ الَّذِي لَيْسَ لِلْنِسَاءِ مِثْلِهِ. And this is really the reality. And because of what Allah has given men of intellect, firmness, patience, and forbearance, which women don't have. يعني at the time of calamity, if there was a car accident, and you see dead bodies, you know, people chopped in half, and who is a more suitable gender to deal with the situation? And let's assume that the deceased is the officer's relative. Which is better, a female police officer or a male police officer? If it's a woman and she sees her son, what is she gonna do? She's gonna faint. She's gonna faint. Oh, gone. Like, officer, we need you. Mafia officer, done. Women can't handle it. A man, no matter what, there are exceptions to the rule. Even if you're sad, you can keep your composure. You're still there. Why? Allah gave men this quality that women are too soft, too sensitive, you know, too emotional to be able to deal with certain things. they will fall apart. A man is able to maintain himself. وكذلك قسم بالنفقات على الزوجات. And furthermore, Allah specified that men are the ones who spend. It's your job to spend on women. وكثير من النفقات يختص بها الرجال ويتميزون عن النساء. Many of the aspects of spending are specific for the men and they are distinct from women in this regard. ولعل هذا سر قوله بما أنفقوا. Perhaps this is the secret in Allah's statement of because of that which they spent. وحذف المفعول. And Allah did not mention the object that spent. What is it that they spent? Allah didn't mention. ليدل على عموم النفقة. So this may include the comprehensive understanding of spending. فعلم من هذا كله أو كله أن الرجل كالوالي والسيد لمراته وعنده عانية أسيرة خادمة. We learn from this that the man is the master and the ruler over his wife, and she is similar to a captive and a maid for him. Of course, alhamdulillah, we don't have women here. Because if we have women now, we'll be having a big debate. But we're all men amongst men. This is how we look at it. You're like the mudir, and she is like the employee. But time out. Which is the best mudir? The one who is gentle with his employee, consults with him, takes his opinion, treats him justly, pays him on time? Or the one who doesn't listen to his employee, he ignores him, disrespects him, and he doesn't consult him? The first. So even though we're saying you're like the mudir and she's like your employee, what does Islam teach you when you're a mudir? How do you deal with people? With justice, with kindness, with love, with forbearance, with consultation? So some people, some men, misunderstand this teaching. Say, oh, I'm the mudir, she's the maid. So he really thinks she's his employee, his secretary. Do this, don't do that, da da da. She has an opinion, ask back, back. Don't speak. I know. No, Habibi. We're mistaken, Akhwan. We're mistaken. Even the mudir has to treat his employee in a particular way. This is if it was employee stranger. What if it's your wife? What if it's one's wife? Then obviously we have to be very different in our treatment. You understand? So this doesn't mean that we are dictators. It means you are the mudir because you make the last call. You make the final decision. But you have to include her in the process. It doesn't mean that all men are more intellectual or more intelligent than women. In many cases, it's the other way around. So then, we have to be careful and sensitive in our approach or our understanding of this concept in Islam. فَوَظِفَتُهُ أَنْ يَقُومَ بِمَا سَرَعَهُ اللَّهُ بِهِ. Your job is to fulfill what Allah has given you as a trust. وَظِفَتُهُ الْقِيَامِ بِطَاعَةِ رَبِّهِ وَطَاعَةِ زَوْجِهِ. Her job is to obey Allah and obey her husband. فَلِهَذَا قَالْ فَالصَّالِحَاتُ قَانِتَاتٌ. That's what Allah said. So the righteous women, therefore, the righteous women are قَانِتَاتٌ أي مُطِعَاتٍ لَهُ. They obey Allah عز وجل. حَافِظَاتٌ لِلْغَيْبِ أي مُطِعَاتٍ لِأَزْوَاجٍ حَتَّى فِي الْغَيْبِ. They obey their husband even when he is absent. And there isn't a better quality. The worst thing in the world, the worst thing in the world for a man is to be in another country on vacation or at work, and he tells his wife, I told you don't leave. She says, I'm leaving. I'm going to the mall. Well, I told you don't go. Salam alaikum. She hangs up the phone. Yani, you want to fly? You want to catch a bird, not an airplane, or a rocket to take you home and put her in her place. That is not a righteous woman. A righteous woman is not the one to tell, I told you don't leave. He says, no, I'm going to leave. Because Allah said that they protect and they obey their husbands even in their absence. You can be on the other side of the world. You can be on the moon, going to the moon on a project, Apollo 75. And you tell her, don't leave the house. She says, Abshir. Abshir. That's all you need to say. Don't leave. Done. End of conversation. Now, if you are near, she would be afraid. You're far. Can she not go behind your back? She can. So Allah described the obedient woman as the one who says, "Abshir." She will not do it. You told her not to go, even if it's her mom. She wants to visit her parents. Nope. Nope. Take a taxi and ride with the taxi and by the time you make it there and all this fitna on the way. Nope. Either I take it to your mom or, you know, your grandpa or your father and your mom come to us. You don't go out. Khalas. End of discussion. That is according to the standards of Allah. فالصالحات قانتات. The righteous women are obedient to their husbands and to Allah. To Allah and their husbands, even in absence, even in his absence. تحفظ بعدها بنفسها ومالك. She protects and preserves her husband concerning herself and his wealth. يعني she doesn't offer herself, she doesn't commit zina, she doesn't go out wearing half of her clothes in the street to go shopping so she can attract many men on the way and back, nor does she spend his wealth unlawfully. He leaves her with some 500 riyals and she goes and buys a dress with it and leaves the children hungry for the rest of the month. She protects his wealth, his property and herself, even when her husband is absent. بالغيب. وَذَلِكَ بِحِفْظِ اللَّهِ لَهُنَّ وَتَوْفِيقِ لَهُمْ لَا مِنْ أَفُسِينَ. And this is because Allah protected, Allah is the one who guided them for this. It is not because they do it on their own. It's from Allah's mercy towards these women. فَإِنَّ النَّفْسَ أَمَرَكُمْ بِسُوء. Otherwise the soul commands evil. Yani it's Allah who helps the woman does this. Otherwise one soul calls for evil. And we have to understand, this exists in our lives. It's Allah who you need. That's why you have to have a good relationship with Allah to protect your wife and to protect your family in your absence. Otherwise, if we don't protect and if we violate Allah's rule, we then ask Allah to forgive us and pardon us, then maybe someone will do this to our own female family members. So it's from Allah. Otherwise, if the absent is there, my husband is gone for a long time, it's difficult for the women. Specifically brothers who work overseas. Yani he leaves his wife back in his home country and he's working in another country, he goes back home once a year. Akhi, once a year is not enough. She has needs. Women have needs like we have needs. And in Islam you're not allowed to leave your wife over 6 months. If 6 months have passed and you haven't been with her, she has the right to divorce you. Because she has the right. So anyone who can bring his, you know, family from overseas here, let him do so. Because she's a human being, you're a human being. You know you're falling into some shortcomings because of your weakness, then don't think that she's going to be an angel at home. So we have to be very careful. It's Allah Azza wa Jalla who protects and preserves. وَلَكِنْ مَنْ تَوَكَّلَ عَلَى اللَّهِ كَفَاهُ مَا أَهَمُّ مِنْ أَمْرِ دِينِ وَدُنْيَا. However, whosoever relies upon Allah, then Allah will suffice him concerning the matters of his deen and the matters of his dunya. We'll do the last the paragraph quickly. وَالَّتِي وَثُمَّ قَلْ وَالَّتِي تَخَافُونَ نُشُزَهُنَّ. Those whom you fear on their end, ill conduct. أَيَرْتِفَعَهُنَّ عَنْ طَاعَةِ أَزْوَاجِهِنَّ. If they become disobedient, they become defiantly disobedient to the husband. بِأَنْ تَعْصِيهِ بِالْقَوْلِ الْفَعْلِ. That she disobeys him verbally or in action. فَإِنَّهُ يُؤَدِّبُهَا بِالْأَسَدْ بِالْأَسَدْ. Then he has to reprimand her and rectify her in using the easiest means first. فَغِضُهُنْ أَوَّلًا أَيْ بِبَيَانِ حُكْمِ اللَّهِ فِي طَاعَةِ الزَّوْجِ وَمَعْصِيَتِهِ. First, admonish them. Yani when you tell your wife not to do something, when a man tells his wife not to do something, and she disobeys him, either verbally or by action, the first thing he does is admonish her. How does he admonish her? By reminding her about the ruling of Allah concerning the wife obeying her husband. وَالتَّرْقِيبْ فِي الطَّاعَ. And he encourages her to obey. وَالتَّرْقِيبْ فِي الْمَعْصِيَةِ. And he warns her from disobedience. فَإِنْ انْتَهَتْ فَذَلِكَ الْمَطْلُوبُ. If she stops disobeying him, alhamdulillah, he has attained that which is desired. وَإِلَّا فَيَهْجُرُهَا الزَّوْجُ فِي الْمَطْعَةِ. Otherwise he will abandon her in bed. And the ulama say, the way this is done, that he sleeps on the same bed, but he gives her his back. Some of the ulama said, yani, not only that he sleeps in another room, or he sleeps on a, no, he sleeps on the same bed, but as if she's not there. As if, and this is for a woman, a killer. This is a killer, especially if she prepared herself and everything, and you're like, psh, get out of here. You know what I'm saying? This is like, you know, as if you shot her 20 times. This is the second. If you admonish her and she still doesn't listen, she's still disobeying you, ignore her in bed. Khalas. No more fun during the night time. بَأَنْ لَا يُضَاجِعُهَا أَيَّلَّهُ دِكْتُورَ. And then he does not sleep with her, does not have sexual intercourse. وَلَا يُجَامِعْهَا بِمِقْدَارِ مَحْصُدِينَ مَقْصُودِ. And he does not remain with her until she gets her desires fulfilled. Yeah, you finish your business and you forget about the rest. You do your 2 minute thing, khalas. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Everyone is married here. على كل حال, so that is the objective. Because sometimes a man needs, you know, he can't remain, you know, avoid her for so long, but he doesn't look after her own satisfaction. Whether she's happy or she's not, she doesn't matter. He gets his business done, yalla, salamu alaykum. And then he goes back to his business. This is another killer for the woman. If that doesn't work, فَيَضْرِبُهَا وَإِلَّا ضَرَبَهَا ضَرْبًا غَيْرَ مُبَرِّحٍ. He beats her, or we don't even want to say the word beat, because beat is an inaccurate translation. Because beat is when you beat someone until you knock him out. You strike her. You strike her, غَيْرَ مُبَرِّحٍ, in a very lenient manner. Some of the ulama say it's equal to you getting the siwak, say, hey, bas. To let her know that you're serious. Not that you say, oh, you go get your punching, you know, your punching gloves and say, okay, I'm going to show you now. Bah! No. Some men get excited, you know. He wants to, you know, relive his old boxing days. So he tries it on his wife. No. You don't kick, punch, anything which you, no. You cannot leave a bruise. You cannot make her bleed. It's a light, light strike. It's a light strike. This is what is intended. فَانْحَصَلَ مَقْصُودُ بِعْمَا ذِمُورُ وَأَطَعَنَكُمْ فَلَا تَبْغُوا عَلَيْهِ النَّسَبُولَ. If any of these means bring about the result, خلاص, then leave him alone. أي فَقَدْ حَصَلَ لَكُمْ مَا تُحِبُونَ يُفْ اتَيْنُ وَتُشُلَبُ فَتْرِكُمْ مُعَاتَبَتِي عَلَى الْأُمُورِ الْمَاضِيَةِ. Then stop reprimanding her and reminding her of the past. Some of us do this. You remember what you did 10 years ago? Remember 10 years ago you did the خلاص. خلاص, forget it, ya Shaykh. والتنقيب من عن العيوب التي يدور ذكرها ويحدث بسبب الشر. So don't mention all things which mentioning will create more evil and it's harmful to mention them. إن الله كان عليا كبيرا. Verily Allah is the most high, the greatest. أي العلو المطلق بجميع الوجوه والاعتبارات. Allah has the ultimate transcendency in all means and in all understandings. علو الذات وعلو القدر. Allah is himself high above the creation, and his status subhanahu wa ta'ala is high as well. وَعُلُوُ الْقَهْرَ. And Allah is irresistible. الْكَبِيرُ الَّذِي لَا أَكْبَرَ مِنْهُ. There is nothing bigger than Allah. وَلَا أَجَلْ. There is nothing more honorable than Allah. وَلَا أَعْظَمْ. There is nothing greater than Allah. كَبِيرُ الذَّاتِ وَالصِّفَاتِ. Allah is big and great in himself and in his attributes. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَ الْحَمْدِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا